This morning, I didn't know exactly, the Lord gave me some things. He's had me been going back over into the past. And one of the things is we were last Sunday, and I ministered to, it was ministering to all of us, but also for the Cossacks themselves. But it had to do concerning the anointing, and I had just, because of what the Lord had dealt with me concerning the fire of God, or the anointing of fire, which he spoke to me about. And one of the things I've been spending a lot of time over in prayer, that I find that, there's nothing wrong. You have certain things or certain agendas that you have in prayer. But there's one thing, as I've over the years have done this, is in prayer, is I'll take time and set time aside and ask God what he wants to pray, be prayed about. Because sometimes the things around us, we spend, if we go to prayer, we spend all our time and focus around the things that affect us. And we spend all of our time there, and there's nothing wrong with that in general, but that's not really a good thing to be doing all the time, because many times there's things affecting you and you don't know about it because you don't go over into prayer and find out about what's really affecting you. You just look at what's going on around you. And you got your problems and you got your things. It's like Kenneth Hagin, when I was listening to him, and I've learned over the years from him about things, he talked about in a minister's conference, he made this statement. He was teaching on the subject of healing, and he said, you pastors need to know this, and he's talking to spirit-filled people. He said, you're not going to get most of your people healed. Isn't that great to hear? Isn't that exciting? Well, what he's talking about, because of this fact, Most of the believers sitting in the pew are looking at the minister to do something, the minister to take a hold of something, the minister to, and it's not. And he said, one of the things that people don't deal with concerning sickness or anything like that is what the cause. What's the cause? He said, if you don't find out what the cause is, you may not be able to change a thing. You can sit and make confession. The cause must be changed. There's things that must be done for things that are caused. And sometimes we don't see cause. We don't see what it is. Sometimes in the natural, we get over in our minds, we think about things. And, when the Lord dealt with me years ago, and he's had to rebuke me once in a while on occasions, and he said this to me one time over a situation. He said, you're like a doctor who only treats symptoms. Well, I learned from that over the years, and I watched, and I thought, yes, most Christians, that's the way they live their life. They're always treating symptoms. They only pray. They only get about faith and what they see and never deal with causes of things. What's causing this? What's the background? Because the devil can't just come around and put something on you in general. If he could, he'd have us all sick today and at home in bed. Well, he can't do that. So what's the cause? Why am I under attack? Why are things happening? Why is stuff going on? What is it? Sometimes things can happen. You didn't necessarily do anything wrong. The devil will bring pressure against you. But if you're in a place of faith, you can stand against that. That's no problem. You can. And you need to learn to do that. But you have to know where something's coming on. Or if I open the door to something in my life and it's allowed something to come on. Have I done that? What's happening? You got to find out. Is there something? See, we don't relate things to one another. There's things over the years, I know the Lord showed me, already, because you get back and it's something in the past where you turn around and got sort of away from certain things you knew, certain things you walked in years ago, and all of a sudden you're not walking in them anymore. It's right now, the church today is a wonderful example. You know, when I came into the kingdom, that move of the Spirit that was going on, 90% of the people that were in that move of the Spirit aren't even walking in the Spirit of the things they walked in back then. But they're trying to have today what they had back then. Well, it'll never happen. You can't have it without getting to where you were back there. You got to walk in the same place. You got to walk under the same things. You got to go back. You know, there's things and principles in the Bible and about doing that is going back, is one of the things we have a principle in the Old Testament set, and really it's a physical principle, but in the Old Testament, the things many times were types and shadows in the natural of things in the spirit. And where Isaac went back and he redug the wells of his father. So in other words, they went back and drank of the wells that his father had established. We have today in the church world, the church has left the foundation or the wells of our spiritual fathers and have gone on to new kinds of beliefs and new kinds of stuff and all that. And the foundation is drinking the water of those wells of our forefathers, is drinking our forefathers of faith. And if you're not founded in them, you're going to be drinking contaminated water. That's what you're going to be drinking. See, we left things, you know, things we knew before. If I go back and I look, you know, as the Lord was talking to me, I didn't, you know, I wasn't conscious about most of the worship this morning here. The Spirit of the Lord was speaking to me over here. It always amazes me. I talk to him all week and he just gets really, he gets really talking in the mornings when I stand here. I don't know what about that spot. Maybe it's a great spot to stand. But when I get there and worship starts, he starts talking to me. And He started talking this morning about my past and walking in the things of the past and picking up things of the past that you walk in and that you did. And hooking into those because those anointings of the past, or they are needed. We just go on to something new. See, the American culture stinks up to high, and especially the church culture. It's rancid and stinks. And people just love it and cling to it. They love their church cultures. And the church culture changes and goes on to something, and we don't even see the influence of it, how much it influences us. But you spend time with God, you start seeing how much it's influenced us, what it has done to us, what it's led us away from. See, the things that caused the moves of God before are the same things that will cause the move of God today. It never changes. People say, well, God's going to do a new thing. Yeah, it might be new to you, but it ain't new to God, and it ain't new to past generations. As I've said before, there's things even that I know that I've walked in, and there's things that I touched into back in the 1980s the church knows nothing about today. Most Christians don't have a clue about it. They don't know. Things of the Spirit. And it happens today. People are, wow, God's doing a new thing. No, he ain't. People walked in that stuff years ago. People walked in those things. They knew those things. Kenneth Hagin talked about it. He said, I know a lot of things. He said, I can't teach because he said people are not in a place to be able to hear it. They wouldn't, you know. Why? Because people move away from foundations and stuff and you start teaching, people get flaky. You can't teach it to them. And I don't want God to say, you know, Ed, I wanted to teach you things, but you were a knucklehead and I couldn't teach you. You know, I just, you know, you didn't do what you needed to do. But there's one thing, is going back and drinking from the wells of our fathers is a hugely important thing today. Today we have this thing here, and, you know, this thing about going on to new stuff. You know, we always have to have change. We always got to have change. We don't like something that's good. You know, I saw this stuff. I remember when I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company. And I remember we used to have things that were on a line. What they were is they were a switch. They were an electrical switch. And that electrical switch had a little arm on it. And what happened when boxes went by on a conveyor line, it would hit that little switch and it would knock that switch as it goes by. They could set them to do anything, to count boxes or sometimes with jam ups on lines, it would stop things and bring them to halt when things weren't working right and doing that. And I'll never forget this, you know. And they had a price, what those things cost to put on them, and they weren't really expensive. But I'll never forget this. They came along with the photocells, and they started saying, no, we're going to replace all these, and we're going to photocells, we're going to the new technology. Well, they put it in. They did the new technology. What a mess it was. Because those things, we had more trouble with them over the years, and they cost a whole lot more to fix. And we were spending 100 times more money. And they're telling them, how can we save money? We said, let's get rid of our stupid photo cells and go back to those switches that work. We can't do that. You have to go with the new technology. That's the church today. We have to go with the new. And so what? We leave what works. We leave what works. Oh, no, we must go with the new. Oh, they got the new thing out now, you know. We just got the new stuff. We got the new styles. We got the new this and the new that. Well, on the other side of that, there is old stuff. I don't want to go back to my parents' religion. That wasn't going nowhere. You know? They thought they were going to heaven because they dressed a certain way. They thought you did certain things. God really liked you because you did that. Well, you know, and they had their natural things that they did were more important than spiritual. And they didn't know a lot about his spiritual things. Well, I don't want to go back to that, but I want to go to the things of the Word. We want to follow the things of the Word. People need to know that. See, we need to stay close to the Word and the Spirit. Jesus said in the end times, he said, if you follow the Word and the Spirit and me, he said, you'll be fine. You'll be all right. That's what he said in a vision to Kenneth E. Hagin. In the last days, if you follow the Word, the Spirit, and me, he said, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. You'll be all right. And see, that's what the church doesn't do. The church follows, you know, whatever. You know, what men are doing, what men think, and whatever men. It doesn't matter. We need to follow. Number one is we follow the Word of God. You need to learn the Word of God and know the Word of God. It isn't enough for me to know the Word of God. It helps me a lot, but it may not do a thing for you. You need to know the Word. You need to get it in you to stand. You need to learn to know the Holy Ghost. I have over the years learned to know the Holy Ghost. As I've said, Kenneth E. Hagin made this statement and said that he knew the Holy Spirit better than his wife who sleeps in the bed beside him. And I remember when I heard him say that, I thought, that just shocked me. I was just a young Christian. That just out and out shocked me. But then in February of 1980, only 2 months, it was less than just a little over a month, it was that I got born again. The Holy Spirit said to me, he said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. Some 20 years later, he said this to me, most of my people have amounted to nothing. See, people are good. We talk about good and all that kind of stuff. But what's God's measurement? Is to be led by the Spirit of God. Now think about this. The Spirit of God lives in us. And we're unconscious. We're unconscious of His presence. Why are we unconscious of His presence? Why isn't it normal that He could speak to us and we would hear? I've heard ministers say that, I don't believe in God talking to you. I hardly can believe He's a Christian. God would live inside of you and He don't talk. What is He, a hitchhiker? What is he? Just some knucklehead on a ride somewhere? He didn't have nothing else to do, so let's get down here and annoy these people. This is what bothers me, God not talking to people. That bothers me. If God doesn't talk to me, that bothers me. But you know, I learned this. You can stand there and hear me this morning because I talk in a loud voice and I'm talking to you. But most of the time when God's talking to me, it starts with an unction in the inside. It's not some kind of loud voice. You got to learn. You got to be trained. You got to train yourself to hear on the inside. You got to train yourself. I have notes up there what I was going to teach. It was really good the way he talked down here. He talked to me about those things. And I can understand why the things he talked to me that I put down in notes. I understand because we'll go to that someday. We'll talk about those things. But right now, we're going to talk about what the Spirit said. One of the things, to be conscious of spiritual things, you're going to have to do spiritual things. Natural things don't bring things about in the Spirit. It don't bring it about. It doesn't do it. There's one thing as I learned concerning the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth. Now, the church at Corinth, he had to deal with them because in their church services, they got out of bounds with their talking in tongues. People were talking in tongues and not interpreting, and so people didn't know what was going on. So he set the order in the church about how in the church tongues should be used, which is a good thing, you know, how tongues should be used. But one thing the Apostle Paul said is Paul said this, because we know that these people love to talk in tongues and they did it. Paul said, I talk in tongues more than you all. Well, then I decided, I thought, well, if he talks in tongues more than, but in the church and when he's ministering, you know, he has learned how to use it in a proper way, but he talks in tongues. Well, what's he talking about? He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. It's in his own personal prayer life. Now, he said more than y'all, and it seems like at Corinth, those guys there, they were really after it. And he was doing more than all of them put together. But he was doing his own prayer life. There's one thing as the Lord spoke to me some years ago and said this concerning this last day move of God. He said this last day move of God cannot be brought into where he wants to by people who don't pray in tongues. And why? Is God against Christians that don't pray in tongues? He's not against them, but there's things that they can do. Understand this. You can, if you're going to pray out of you, Paul talked about it, praying from your mind, the mental part of it. He said, we can do that. There's things that you know to pray for and you can pray for. But there's many things to be prayed for you don't know about. Paul said when you pray, when a man prays in tongues, he's not speaking to men but unto God. Howbeit in the mystery, in the spirit, he's speaking mysteries. There's things that are mysteries. What mystery to what? Your mind. See, people, this is why the church world in general don't like praying in tongues. Because 99% of the church is mental. All they operate's in the mental. That's all they, if they can't understand it, it's wrong. It's wrong. But you need to understand, this move of God to be brought in, if God's waiting for me through my mentality to bring it in, it'll never happen. It's going to have to be prayed out in the Spirit. It's going to be prayed out in the Spirit. I'm going to have to speak mysteries to God outside of my own ability. Outside of my knowledge of things that go on. There's things of knowledge that goes on I don't know about. There's things happening in the realm of the Spirit that I don't know about. There's things that must be changed spiritually before anything can be changed physically. You need to understand that. That's why Christians have a hard time with divine healing. Divine healing is a simple thing. It's nothing to it. It's nothing to it to get divinely healed. That's the easiest thing there is. But it's not mental. So it's hard for the Christian because the Christians are mental. Divine healing is not physical. There's nothing physical about it. It has nothing to do with the physical. It manifests in the physical. That's all. Everything that causes it to happen is spiritual. Everything that causes divine healing to take place is spiritual. It is not physical. Divine healing is without... Jesus ministered divine healing. Did Jesus ever send anybody to the doctor? Did he ever tell anybody, you need to do this or you need to do that? Did he ever do that? Now, he wasn't against physicians. He even talked about people seeing a physician. But he never sent them. He ministered in the areas of divine healing. So divine healing was without any other kind, anything else. And so what happened? We go over Jesus himself. He said Mark 11:23 about whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and doubts not in his heart. Where? His heart, his spirit, and the inner man. It comes from the inner man. The words that you speak are out of the inner man. They're not out of your mind. They're out of your inner man. Do you know what your inner man's saying? Most Christians are filled with the knowledge of what's touching their body and they operate on the outside. The physical man dominates. That's why we pay all the attention to it. That's why we will spend huge amounts of time about our clothing. This is what religion does. It's clothing, it's certain look, the car that you drive and this and that fits into your category. That's all about it. All about these things, these appearances. And when it comes down, what happens on the inside? It's full of empty people. They're just empty shells walking around. Empty shells. Nothing going on. No power on the inside. The inner man. Kenneth Hagin talked about this years ago when I listened to him as a young Christian. He talked about seeing people in the spirit realm and seeing Christians. And he said their human spirit was like all weak and like crippled and emaciated and it was messed up. Because it hadn't been being fed, hadn't been being taken care of. People are doing nothing spiritually. Yet outside they have all this religious trapping that things that really look good and look really nice. So I'm doing all these nice things. See, I feed the poor, I do this or I do that. Do you hear the Holy Ghost? No. What do we need him for? I'm feeding the poor and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. What do we need the Holy Ghost for? I have some rules that I follow. Why would we need the Holy Spirit? Jesus said this, and there's another thing that I'm telling you, things that mark my path to learn to be listened but to the Holy Ghost. Jesus said this to Kenneth E. Hagin. This is a thing that really gripped me, and I thought my need, what I need to do. He said this. He said, Jesus spoke to him and said this to him. I'm going to hold you as accountable to what I tell you is what's written in the book. If you don't ever hear him talk, you're bypassing a lot of stuff that he's telling you to do that you didn't do. And he's going to hold you as accountable to that, whether you listen to it or not, that is written in the book. And I said, whoo, I better learn how to hear from God. I better learn how to listen. I better do something about this. And then when I do hear him say, ain't that nice? The Lord told me something. Isn't that wonderful? Over the years, I've had people tell me this. Oh, the Lord said this to me, or do that, said that to me. I'm supposed to do this, that. And they've never done it. I know they've never done it. They've said what the Lord said, but they've never done it. They've never obeyed it. But they thought it was cool God talked to them. Don't, if you ain't going to do it, who cares if he talks to you? It don't matter. It's about doing it. Hallelujah. Have you ever missed it? Join the club. My God. Hallelujah. And lots of times, you know, as I've learned this, God gives you a word and you make a sentence out of it. You take it in over how you think about it. Loads of things. I've learned over the year not to do that. When I was a younger Christian, I made paragraphs, you know, and you have too, so don't look at me like I've done something there. I've learned over the years of not letting myself, God says something, well, I believe him and we'll do what we know to do. And how this thing turns, we'll have to see what his agenda was on this and what I think it's going to be. Because I found out lots of times it ain't like I think. It doesn't like I think. And so you have to learn that about God. That's just the way he operates. See, this is a faith life. This is not about us under control, in control. That's a terrible thing. Most people need to be in control all the time or they feel insecure. Man, I'm going to tell you what. I'm on a roller coaster and there's no safety belts and there's no things to hold me in. And you know what? I didn't want to take that ride, but I'm going to tell you, it's the best ride you can get on. You've got to get outside of you. You are your biggest problem. When I faced that fact that Ed was his biggest problem, my words, things started getting easier. When I decided, Ed, it isn't somebody else. It's Ed. Somebody knew something about Ed. Then I found out nobody else was going to do a thing about it. I had to do about it. But there's one thing that I found out. When the Apostle Paul said he spent a lot of time praying in tongues, I realized that praying in tongues was going to have to be a major thing that I would do. Why? Because praying in tongues is a spiritual thing. If you want to touch into things of the Spirit, you're going to have to do something spiritual to do it. And this is really the key. The devil has tried to keep us away from this. And I'm just going to talk about things when I got started off. That's what the Lord told me to do, is talk about things, because When I got born again, I stepped into the supernatural. Is number one, I was fortunate. I didn't have any other teachers but Kenneth E. Hagin. I didn't have anybody else to tell me what I was doing was wrong and didn't fit their religious program. I was fortunate. See, I came up in religion. A smart thing that I did, I was raised up in a plain group and that stuff. And my parents, they loved God as much as they understood. And I thank God. I mean, they were people of integrity and stuff. And I thank God for that. But spiritually, they were in left field. They didn't know. They weren't taught right. Well, and don't get high and mighty. We have that in the spirit-filled churches today are the same thing. Not much has changed. People get over and they get into their religious things and start doing just, you know, after a while we got our nice religion. I go to church. I do this. I do that. And I'm all right. You know? If you haven't noticed, lots of sinners do as well as the Christians do. You know? Most Christians ain't got no better health than the world got. Why? I can tell you. Spiritual reasons. There's spiritual reasons. That's why they do. Christians should be the healthiest group in the bunch. They're not. And it isn't cause, you know, we're going to eat all the, you know, chicken that don't have any, you know, hormones in it or, you know, or a little stupid stuff. You think we're going to go there to that and that's going to make it work? Well, you just went back to the natural again. I tell you, the devil will kill you eating health food. And this is what the Lord spoke to me about health food some years ago. I was out doing a run one day, and the Lord said to me, there's no such thing as health food. And he just spoke up on me on the inside. I knew it was the Lord, but I thought, I ain't even thinking about this. This is ridiculous. I'm running. And he said, there's no such thing as health food. And I just said, what? You know, people must think, I used to go out and run. I don't know if people watch me. I never paid any attention, but I wonder if they just think this guy used to talk to himself all the time when he'd be out there running. I don't know why when I go for a run, God talked to me. You know, some people's got to go hide in the closet. Dear Lord, I get into noisy situations and God talks. I mean, He surprises me every time. He ain't like the religious. Hey, there's times it's good to get away. One thing that is I like to get away from the standpoint of anybody else around me. I do like, so one thing is you go out and run. Don't worry about it. Nobody's going to come along with you on that. So you go by yourself. You don't have anybody else out there doing it. You can get away from people for sure because they ain't going to do that. So I got there running and so I said, what? And then he said the exact same. No such thing as health food. I said, Lord, what do you mean by this? And he said it the third time. This is one of the most amazing things. I've checked with other people, people I've known in the ministry. It's amazing all the times that God speaks things three times. I could go back over and tell you about a good 200 times that God has spoken stuff to me that he has said it three times to you, but say it three times. Number one, if God said to me one time, it's important, but he says it three times, it's a good thing it had paid attention. But anyhow, I said, Lord, what is this you're talking about? He said, if there was anything like health food, you wouldn't have to pray over it and sanctify it with the word and prayer. You see, people don't realize, this is why a lot of Christians are sick, because Christians follow what the world teaches. Most Christians have no faith at all when they pray over their food. They just do the ritual. It's doing all we pray over our food. Yeah, an unbelief. And then go puke after you ate because there was something bad in it. You're supposed to be sanctified. You know, I went to mission field. I tell you what, I've eaten some things that none of you would eat. And I've eaten them, never got sick one time. Why? Because I sanctified the food every time. The devil ain't killing me. The devil ain't killing me. People worry so much about stuff. It's because of faithlessness. This is good preaching, folks. This is good preaching. See, we do so much faithlessly. We have no faith in what we're doing. We sit and worry about this. You know, we'll sit and say things. You know, and you've heard me talk about this. Well, I know I shouldn't be eating this. Well, then what are you eating it for? You have no faith to eat it. What on earth are you eating it for? You know. I know I should be eating fish instead of, you know, a steak. Why? What on earth? You've listened to all them crazy people that told you that and will probably die before you will. What on earth is wrong with you? Something wrong with your mind? Yes, there is. It's unrenewed. It's stupid. It's tied to the world system. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do that. The Lord spoke to me one time because I asked him the question. I said, people are always coming along with this bit. You gave them a diet. You gave this and you did that. And I just, you know, because I watched this stuff. And one of the things that I watched was this. I watched a good, really close minister friend and his wife, a serious illness. And he got over in one of these things and that hallelujah diet. It was called a hallelujah diet. And we'll go through what it is. But anyhow, basically it was a vegetarian diet is what it was. And his wife died on the diet. And I talked to him about it and that stuff. And I found out was one of the things that his wife, the doctor, was concerned about. His wife could talk to his wife because she wasn't getting enough protein. Do you know studies they've done concerning vegetarians? That 40% of vegetarians don't get enough protein. And because they don't, the brain don't function right and they have mental problems. But I wonder what's causing the mental problems with the people that do eat meat. Because they're a load of mental problems too. It's, you know, I'll tell you what the problem is. It's faithlessness. We've taken in all this stuff from everybody everywhere. The Bible states things, but that's not what's in us. The power that's in us is what we have listened to what we call medical science and everything else, and we've stored all this stuff. There's one thing that I've noticed with this, and I've noticed over the years, and this is not the criticism to anybody who works in the health industry, but most Christians that work in the health industry have a terrible time believing God, to believe God for anything, for healing. They can't. They will immediately move to the physical. They can't do it. You have to do the medical part. You gotta do it. They have a very hard time. Hey, and it's not criticism. I've noticed it. It's the way it is. You have a terrible time. You know, they said this is going to happen to you or that's going to happen to you. This, and that's what they do. And they have a very, very tough time with it. They don't have to because I've met ones that don't, but the majority do. It's you choose what you believe for the natural. Tell the natural people that are going to come. They're going to have to follow whatever's in the natural. But there's a spiritual side, and you better know the spiritual side. You best know it. Because if you don't, you're wasting your time on the God side about it. You need to go over and go on the physical side and get what you can get. That's the way it is. This isn't being critical, being mean. It's just the way it is. This is why there is so much health problems among the spirit-filled people. Because basically they operate like the world does. They think like the world does. They do, you know, if we don't face the fact, it doesn't change. You know, somebody say, well, you know, I don't believe it's that way. Well, then just keep going your way and you just keep having your problems and have a good time at it. I've learned over the years, God's walked me through this thing and taught me these things and taught me a lot of stuff. And especially in the areas of divine health, of how to walk over in that area. We basically, most spirit-filled people that even get over in the areas of divine healing, they believe in getting sick and getting well. They don't believe in staying well. They don't know how to do it. They believe you get sick and then you believe God for healing. That's fine. That's good. That's not God's best. If you learn to get over in the areas of divine health, there's lots of you'll find yourself attacked very little on things. Because you learn how to operate in the spirit over there and you can keep things from coming to you. Because you don't expect them to. I ain't had the flu since before 1980 when I got born again. And I don't take flu shots. But I do take shots. I take Holy Ghost shots. I sit down and take shots of the Word. I believe they're true. I act on them. I get my mouth in line with what the Bible says. And I don't go around saying about me, well, you just got to watch it. I get around people who have the flu. Don't scare me at all. It ain't getting on me. Well, I'm believing to be healed. Don't come near me. Oh, yeah, I'm Mr. Faith Person. Oh, I ain't going over there. They got sick. Can you imagine Jesus? I don't want to get around the sick people. Oh, we want people healed and we're scared to get around the sick. You might have to touch them. Oh, no. It might get on me. It will. Stay away. It'll be all over you. You're calling it to you. Your faith is for it. It's good preaching nonetheless. There's things you have to deal with. Things you got to deal with. Hallelujah. You see, these things that I'm talking to you about, I learned in the first 3 years of my Christianity. First 3 years of my Christianity, I learned these things. I started walking in divine health a couple months after I got born again. This stuff can't be hard. I'm not a rocket scientist. I need as much help from God as anybody, maybe sometimes more. But there's one thing that I learned to do was listen on the inside. I learned to follow what's in the inside. I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. There is no one in this face of this earth who has ever left, listened to the Holy Spirit inside of them and not be led into divine healing. That has never happened. Nobody, no one ever listened to the Holy Spirit and died prematurely. That has never happened. It's never taken place. No one has ever listened to the Holy Spirit and not got baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoken other tongues. Because the Holy Spirit will lead you right into it. No one has ever listened to the Holy Spirit and stayed poor. That's never happened. Because if they did, it's all outside the Word of God. So God's a liar. Let's go home. What on earth are we doing this for? God called Israel under the law and said they were supposed to be the head done at the tail above, not beneath. They were supposed to be blessed going out, coming in. Their baskets were supposed to be full. That's under the law. What do you think's for the church? If under the law you could have that, what would you get under grace? You would get the knucklehead preacher. Well, that was all for Israel, that stuff. No, we're to suffer, we're to go. The knucklehead preaching, and people pay people. If you're giving money to somebody that preaches like that, you need slapped upside the head. There's something wrong with your mind. You're a flake. You don't help support that stuff. I don't care how nice you think they are, and they need help. Yes, they need help, and they got Phil Haven to take care of that nut. I don't know if you guys remember, so years ago I was talking here about this. The Lord had brought it back to my memory about this thing here some weeks past. I was praying. And I was talking about the fact about healing, God healing, and I was saying, you know, about God will always heal. And I made mention the fact that reasons that people say that God wouldn't heal. There were some visitors with us. And I embarrassed a guy, and he needed embarrassed. Because I said, you know, God don't make people sick. And do people think God makes people sick for a reason? And this guy, this visitor that was here with some other people, he made the statement. He said, yeah, he does it to humble us. And I turned around and said to him, I said, I wonder what great evil thing those little children up here in the children's hospital in Hershey have done that God is trying to humble those kids. I wonder what great evil that they did. Well, he looked at his feet for the rest of the service, and he should have for being so stupid. Religion has such an ignorant mouth, and they never think about what they say. Don't have a religious mouth, because your mouth will speak ignorance, and it'll bring you destruction when you're saying you're trying to believe God. Think. Think about what comes out. That's why you want the Holy Ghost in you, the working. You want to hook up on the inside of you. I don't want to have my own beliefs. I don't want to have my own ideas. I've had plenty of them. And over the years, I've proved a lot of them wrong. So, it's like, get over there on it. If you have a big ego and you hate to be proved wrong, you ain't going to change. I really honestly believe this. I believe many people don't like to spend time with God in prayer because when they do, it touches them and they don't want to be touched. Not in the places that I like, in the things that I like, and what I like. They don't want to be touched. When I spend time with God in prayer, I get touched into things that I need to change. I've been spending a lot of time, in fact, this year, as I said, I spent a lot of time this week here. I don't know how many. I probably average 6-8 hours a day. Very little. I haven't been doing a lot of sleeping. As number one, I need to change. I know there's things within me that I need to get a hold of that need to change the way I think. There's stuff to step into. I don't have all the revelation that there is or needs to know. And this is what I found. Over time you get revelation, it changes the way you think. And if you can't be changed the way you think, it's impossible to change your faith. It's impossible. You can't change your faith if you can't change the way you think. That's an impossibility. Your thinking will control what you let into your spirit man. What you'll let your inner man, what you think in your mind, and if you'll bring it to a halt, you won't listen. Spirit, you won't let it get into your spirit. I don't want that. Boom. Close the door on it. I don't want it. And you'll close it from getting inside of you. That's why getting over the Spirit. I spend a lot of times praying in other tongues. I spend a lot of time over there. And this is the purpose. I'm doing a spiritual thing. Why? Because I want to make my spirit sensitive so where I can hear my spirit. I want to be sensitive in the realm of the spirit, not in the natural. I don't want to be sensitive to what's going on around me. I want to be sensitive to what God wants to do to change things around me. The church can sit today. You know, if you're listening to the so-called pundits of the day, and they're telling you all the things that are going wrong and what all is going bad and what's happening and what's happened, that's fine. But they don't ever tell you how you change it. They got the idea that if you just vote right, that would just settle it all. Well, I found us. Didn't we have a senator just have to resign? Now, I'm going to tell you about that, a listening in the spirit realm. See, what happened in the natural, people think that's what happened to cause him to resign. No, it's what Ed was praying about over the spirit months ago concerning him. I got over in the spirit praying because I'm fed up with the Democrats and the Republicans. I'm fed up with people that get in and they lie. They say we're going to do this and do that and they never do things. Let me tell you about Mike Farmer. I'm going to tell you something about in the spirit. See, I just knew this, getting over and praying, and he kept coming up to me. And the more he came up to me, the angrier I got in prayer. Because he did something. See, he's been messing. This thing here with this, there's a bunch of other things. It's a bunch of other things that people don't know. I don't know if they will find out or not. But one of the things that he did, he crossed the line over into things. He got this thing of medical marijuana. There is no state that has brought medical marijuana in who doesn't eventually legalize marijuana. You know, we got enough trouble with alcohol without bringing marijuana and making it legal. Because I'll tell you, half the church will be smoking it. You give them an opportunity. Well, they might as well. They might as well do it. Dear Lord, they ain't following God. Might as well stay stoned. We'd all be better off. It's good preaching, folks. But I got over there, and I started talking to the Lord about this guy. I said, this guy set something in motion, and he knows what it did. He knows what he set in motion. This is his intent. These guys know this stuff. Why? Money. These guys get in on the ground floor, and they get their investments into this stuff. You go to check around how many congressmen and that stuff in the United States, how much money, where they got their money invested. You'll be shocked. I'm not. Most of them are heathens, evil people, just like in the church, heathens, evil people. Don't pay no attention to God, not listening to God, following the plans of man. We can't throw rocks at them. We're going to have to throw a few at us, and we need some thrown at us. There needs to be an awakening in the church to righteousness again, to holiness again. Needs to be an awakening. Hallelujah. Living right, doing right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And folks, I ain't pushing it on anybody else. It's on me, man. I want to change. Hallelujah. God's counting on the church to change. Well, I got over there and I got praying about this guy and I said, you know, Lord, this man needs to go. What he has done in darkness needs to be brought to light. And I started praying. What he's done in darkness needs to be brought to light. Well, the light came on in an area, didn't it? Where is he? He's not in Congress anymore. Now, Ed didn't do that out of his brilliance. God did that thing. I just got over into the Spirit, and God started showing me things. This is why you got to go there. You can't keep doing things in the natural. You can't just do it. This isn't about voting Democrat and Republican. There's people that need to be taken out. I was listening this morning to Kenneth Hagin. Now, this is interesting because I have some of his prophecies in which I've printed and put out back here. And most of you know, in those prophecies, talks about leaders in our government dropping dead. That God said he would do that. And then here I was listening to Kenneth Hagin this morning, coming to church because I've been listening over. I have a series of his on understanding the anointing because God's really been dealing with me about the anointing on my life. And I was over listening because there's things that he talks about, basics that you got to make sure you got your basics. If you don't have the basics right, forget about trying to, you know, forget about trying to be Benny Hinn when you ain't even got your basics right. Don't even bother about it. You ain't going there. And as I get over and I said, God's dealing with me about this, I got to know my foundation's good. I'm walking in light of the word. But one of the things he did is he was talking about it, and he was talking about how the prophet's anointing operates through him, and he was talking about different things. And then he got over and began he spoke in tongues, and then he began to interpret. Then he went over and he began to prophesy. And he said, I'm not prophesying out, and there's a difference. There's a difference between prophesying out of the spirit of prophecy and out of the prophet's anointing. They're two different things. Most Christians have no clue about what that is. Most people think because a person prophesies sort of often. The Bible tells us, Paul said we all ought to prophesy. Everybody. Every Christian ought to have the spirit of prophecy on them and ought to prophesy. Last night, the spirit of prophecy was on me, and I laid in bed for I don't know how long and spoke by the spirit of prophecy and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I laid there, and all this stuff just kept coming up out of me. See, I go to bed, and God just comes and visits, and stuff happens. You know how I learned how to operate in the spirit? I never learned any of it in the church. I learned it at home. Why do you go to church to run into God? Most churches you go to, you'll never find him there. Most Christians don't know a thing about him. I run into God at home. I learned to operate in the gifts of the Spirit and manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Just commonplace. We had them commonplace in our home. Manifestations of the Holy Ghost were just the way it was. I didn't know God was any different till God finally put me in a church. And I found out, oh my God, what is this thing? People got among them spirit-filled and they didn't know spirit-filled from a man on the moon. They know nothing about spirit-filled. That's good preaching, folks. I was never so disappointed as when God finally sent me to a church. I got among spirit-filled people and I thought, this is going to really be great. And I was so disappointed. I got among these people, some of them have been spirit-filled 20, 30 years. And they were still just spiritual babies. I mean, they hadn't grown at all. Can you imagine? Now, I want you to think about this. Think about this. I was born again for less than 3 years. And the Lord spoke to me and said, the pastor's going to come and ask you to teach the adult Sunday school class. And I said, what? I said, Lord, I want to sit under somebody to teach me. He said, you know a lot more things than they know. And I thought, boy, are they in trouble. Most pastors today are spiritual children. I learned this. You don't necessarily have to have a big a spiritual pastor to have a big church, because most big churches don't have spiritual pastors. Now, there's ones that do, but most of them don't. How did God tell me? He started a church. 500 people in 2 years. And he said, I was backslidden. He said the whole time. He said, you don't have to be spiritual to get a crowd. You just give them what they want. They'll show up. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. And you know what? He got spiritual. God changed his life. And he lost 440 people when he got spiritual. Can you imagine? He had 60 people left. But he said this to me, we got a church. He said, the Lord said to him and showed him in a vision. He showed him this church. It was a huge church. And he said, he showed him this other church. And he said, these people were like a river flowing. And the Lord said to him, which one do you want? Whichever one you want, you can have. He said, I took the river. I'll tell you what, if our church ain't a river, I don't want to even be in it. I want a river. No matter how many people, a river can change a lot of stuff. You don't need a crowd to change things. Everybody, if we can just get, I'm sick of hearing Christians say, we could just get everybody to, we could just change it. What they're saying is, look, I'm so dumb spiritually, I don't think I have any authority to do a thing. And I just, if I could just get everybody else to come and do this, we could make it work. That's natural thinking, you know. If we could just get everybody come, you know, then we can all make this. You ain't gonna get everybody come. And when you want to do something spiritual, you just dwindle the crowd down. And you don't want half of them other people involved in it, because if they get involved in it, they'll kill that thing right away. They'll come in and bring all their ideas. Dear Lord, we don't need any more ideas. I'm trying to get rid of mine. I'm trying to get the mind of God. I've had too many ideas. Say, God, what do you have in mind? That's what I do in the morning here. You guys, some of you might even still be in bed. I'm walking back and forth here. God, what do you want to do? What am I supposed to say today? What do you want? A lot of things. I could have a million notes. God, what do you want to say today? What do you want to do? What would you like to say to the people? You see, you need to understand the world that you're living in. I am not moved how many people. You can just get a couple people in faith, you can change a lot of things. Let me tell you. Remember, Jesus spoke through Kenneth E. Hagin, and one of the prophecies was, he said, you get two people in any country, he said, no matter what they're, and if they'll agree, I'll change that country. You don't need a crowd. In the Old Testament, God was looking for one man that he didn't have to destroy the man. He said, one man could have changed it. One man! He said, I was looking for one guy. I was looking for somebody to stand up. And what does the church always do? We ain't going to do it till we get a crowd. No wonder nothing ever happens. Because when the crowd comes, you'll never follow God. You learn to follow God before the crowd shows up. That's what you have to learn to do. You don't wait for the crowd to follow God, because the crowd will always lead you someplace else. That's like your own life. You don't wait for the crowd. I've come to the place. I don't care if anybody else follows God. It doesn't bother. It's not changing me and my path, what I want to walk. I don't care. Nobody wants to. Don't matter to me. I don't care. Me and God can change anything. We don't think God's enough. We need a crowd of people, and most of them in unbelief, before we can think something can be done. We don't think God's big enough. He's not large enough. You know, he has to have somebody else in this thing here. Our God is really great, but if he can't get a crowd, he ain't so great. Things you need to change. You need to change about things. Understanding who and what we are. See, you get over into the areas of spirit, and that's why praying in tongues. Praying over in tongues leads you to the place where you become sensitive spiritually, shutting off what is in your mind. Praying about what's in your mind all the time. Your mind filled with things. Lord, this situation's here. Many times I say, Lord, I could sit here and talk to you about all what I know about this. But I said, Lord, I'm just going to yield to the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, you know what's motivating these things. You know what's going on behind the scenes. Many times people are trying to deal with things and they're trying to deal with people. The person ain't the problem at all. There's evil spirits involved, but they don't know it. All they're doing is trying to deal with this out. They're dealing with what they see, dealing with what they see. They never touch into what the real problem is. They do what I did. I was the guy who was the doctor just treating symptoms. And you've been doing that too, so don't look at me like you're spiritual and that poor dumb pastor, he didn't know. I quit doing that anyhow. Have you? Hallelujah. Yesterday I just took time out in prayer and I just said, Lord, I'm just going to give you this time. I want to pray in other tongues. Whatever's on your heart to do, you can use my mouth and we'll pray this thing. Whatever's in your heart to do, Lord, do we ever do? See, we're always one side with God. Fix my problems. Do this. We really don't have a relationship with him. We're the 2-year-old kid always whining. I'm hungry. My pants are pooped. I got this problem. I got that problem. And you do this. That's our, we talk about a relationship with God. No little kid has a relationship with their parents. There's no adult communication. There's nothing between them other than I have to take care of you and you're the whiner and beggar. That's what you are. Most Christians live and die in that state. And what happens is eventually God won't change their diapers anymore and they just fall away from things and they just, well, this is just the way life is. And you know, life is hard and life is this. And you know, when you get old, things just don't work like they did. And, you know, so getting old means getting sick. That's what most people, you know, divine healing? No, that goes out. Once you get old, you can never have that. So you can't have divine health. I have knuckleheads say, well, you have to die of something. Well, couldn't you just leave the earth by faith and go home? Do we have to wait for the devil to kill us? That's the church. The devil, the church can't live without the devil. They love him. They need the devil. Because, you know, I can't even get off the earth without him. I don't know how they can believe he's not in heaven. How are they going to get along up there without him? They can't get along without him down here. I know that you can leave this earth by faith. You don't have to have something wrong. Oh, they'll say something happened. Your heart said they said he had a heart attack. Well, prove it. They got to give, a coroner must give a reason of death, whether they know it or not. It's law. And the law states, this is government. Lie if you got them. We don't know. If we don't know, we'll act like we do to make you think we know what's going on. And most doctors ain't going to admit they don't know what's going on. If you told you, you'd go to another doctor. Folks, your doctors aren't special. They're like everybody else. They're human beings. And some of them are lying, cheating scumbags, just like other people are. There's not some kind of holy group gets to be doctors. Oh, but we think they are today. We'll go and worship them. They say jump, we say ha ha. Do this, just do that, just do it. Well, he's a doctor. We don't question. We don't think. We think they're human beings. And most of them are sinners. How do most sinners act? Huh? Come on. Why would your doctor be this wonderful, special person? That's why when you go to the doctor, you better be led by the Spirit. You better know. Did I read you enough statistics the other Sunday out at the picnic of how much medical science is killing people? Over 400,000 people a year in America. That's just America. Two people get killed in a car accident because some part failed. And my words, it'll be all over the news and we're just, oh, this is awful and terrible. But this special group can kill them off. And nobody says a thing. And the first thing they'll tell you, if you have a problem, you need to go to a doctor. You need to get killed. Quick, hurry. Get. They'll tell you, that's what you need to do. With acts like, and they treat you as if nothing could go wrong there, but there is a very good chance it will. That's why you want to get over in the Spirit. Because what happens with that, you can become fearful. You become afraid to do things. See, I'm not afraid. If you get over in the Spirit, these things don't bother me in the least. These things don't bother me in the least. You get over in the Spirit. You know how to walk by faith and you learn how to walk by faith. You don't have to be afraid of none of this. Jesus wasn't nervous about the sinners in the earth, was he? Did he tell the disciples they were supposed to be nervous about these people out here? No. You walk in the Spirit. You learn to walk over what's on the inside. I'll tell you where you'll be. At faith and rest. You won't be pushing. I'm not trying to push to bring anything. My push is this, is to find out what God wants and do it. I want to know what He wants. That's my push. My number one thing and agenda in prayer anymore. God, what do you want to do? And how do you want to use me? And I want to obey to do it. I want to walk in the anointing you have for me. I'm not trying to pick what I want and what I'd like to have and what I want to do. Lord, I don't care. I just want to do His will. I want to follow Him because if His will can be done, it all turns out good. It'll turn out great for me. And it'll turn out great for others. Hallelujah. We need to come to that place where this is what Christianity is. What does God want? We have all this today is what we want in churches. People come walk through the door and they have an agenda, what they want of a church. Have never prayed 2 seconds to find out what God wanted. But they have their agenda, what a church ought to be. Well, God pulled one on you guys because He made me a pastor and I told Him, I don't fit this thing that people say a pastor should be. He said, I know that you don't fit, but I put you there for the purpose because I know what you are. So you're stuck with it. I'll tell you. You know what? He don't need another pansy in the pulpit. He don't need another person afraid to say or to tell somebody what's wrong. He needs a person who'll let also God correct him. That's what God wants. I don't seek God to say, I don't seek God a lot about you guys. I seek a lot about, because I know if I can get in line, I can help you. I know if I can get in line with God, it would do you good. We're always working. We're trying to change. I want to see things change. I want healing to flow like a river, and it will. The Lord spoke to me about these things. I don't know if we'll get over into it. We got in a little bit this morning, but, you know, the Lord was speaking to me about all the things that God worked in me, starting me off as a young Christian, getting me over into the areas of flowing in the Spirit. He was talking to me about the miracles that we saw in our home, the things that took place, the encounters. I lived at 321 Canal Street in Lebanon here. And our bedroom, Wanda and I's bedroom was on the front of that thing. And I'll tell you what, I spent hours after hour after hour in that bedroom when I first started off. My first 3 years as a Christian, I lived in that bedroom. I lived in there with God. I would go to that place and God would meet me in that place. I'd go there and I'd spend hours and hours in prayer. I would go in there and spend time. I didn't want anything when I started off other than God. When I started off, I just wanted God. And I would go there and I would just spend time in that room. And I would go to that place. And he taught me in that place. I had a portable tape player and I would take Kenneth Hagin tapes in there and I would sit and I'd listen to them. And then I would pray about the things that he said on there. And I would go to the scriptures and I'd say, God, what about, teach me this stuff. I want to understand this stuff. You know, a lot of people got excited about hearing about healing, but never learned how to walk in it, never learned how to do it. I'm not interested in hearing a wonderful message if I can't do it. I have no interest in it. What interest do we have? You know, what interest is it if it don't work? Who cares? Why would we listen to it? I wanted to know, Lord, I want to walk in this. And I would listen to him and he would talk about how God used him and how he sought God and God used him and what happened. And I thought, I want to seek God because I want him to be able to use me. I want him to be able to do something through me. I want to be changed. I want to know how this works. I want to know how it works. John G. Lake, I remember years ago reading John G. Lake, and John G. Lake said, I wasn't interested in how that God could heal. I wanted to know how he did it. Well, I'll tell you what, his ministry, he sure did learn about it, how it happened, because his ministry was sure proof. All the people got healed through that ministry. Why? He learned how God did it. It wasn't just God can heal. Most Christians believe God can heal, but most Christians will never get healed. So knowing God can heal, what does that do? Nothing. How do I get it? How do I walk in it? How do I have it? I found I don't know any other way in this. I spent hours to learn. Hours and hours and hours on end. I spent more time with God in my first few years of studying and learning than I did through 2 years of Bible school. To me, Bible school was a pretty piece of cake. That was easy to do. Because I had been spending more hours than I had to there. I went to Bible school. And in Bible school, this is 2 years. And also worked, first year, there was 45 hours a week I was working. 45 hours a week in full-time student Bible school. Most people just have a hard time even going to church and working a full-time job. I taught in Bible schools, and they went under, and I tried to tell them why they're going under, because they keep trying to make it easy on students. Oh, you know, twice a week they have to come to classes in the evening, and they have families and all that. I had family too. And you know what? While I was doing 45 a week, let me just tell you this, how God deals. You need to learn God. I was working 45 hours a week and going to Bible school full time. I had one night off where I could go in during the week was on a Wednesday night that I could go to church, and I worked it out with the guy. I could go Sunday morning, right after Sunday morning, lots of times I had to go to work. But I had Wednesday night off. Wednesday night was my one night off. So, I had got that. Right before at that time on my Wednesday night was off, I didn't have my Sunday, and I wanted to get my Sunday off so I could go Sunday morning to church. Now, most people think, no, I want to sleep in. That's most Christians. They'd be looking how I can do something less. I learned a long time ago, you don't have to figure out how to do it. I want to figure out how to get more of God in and less other stuff. This is one thing you need to know. If you don't know God, your family don't even need you. Anybody can take your place. Wasn't that wonderful to hear? You need to understand that. My family needed a spiritual guy at the steering wheel before they needed anything. The Lord taught me that in my first 3 years. They needed somebody who knew how to do things spiritually. I learned how to protect my family. I learned how to take care of things in the realm of the spirit. Lots of things my family never faced because of it. Whew. So it gets quiet in this Presbyterian church. But anyhow, so I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I got Wednesday night off. I said, Lord, I want to get a Sunday. I want to get Sunday morning so I can go to church on Sunday morning. I want to do that. The Lord said, okay, I want you to volunteer on Wednesday nights to help run the parking lot because they were setting up this new program of how to, because there was so much traffic and stuff because we have all these schools, these students and stuff. And so the church was large because they had the school there and that stuff with a lot of students and plus the regular church people. And so you had a lot of traffic in and out there and you want to get people in and out safely. You know, you don't have a lot of traffic, you have thousands of cars. And you have 1,000 people, you need some kind of thing set up. And so I said, Lord, more. And he just said this to me, you need to do something. I thought, no. See, this is how people don't know God. He didn't think I was doing enough. Here I thought, I am just doing everything out of the sun. And God deals with me, he says, you need to do something. Well, I learned a long time ago not to get offended. Because I did get offended before God told me things and it offended me. I thought, he ain't being fair. You need to understand this. God ain't fair, so get over it. And anybody that's always treating you fair hates your guts and wants the devil to kill you. Life ain't fair. You have to learn to push through things. Well, I went down there and started. I went in and volunteered. And it really did. God was helping me the whole time. I made a supernatural connection with this one guy there who was he was ahead of me by 1 year. He was a CEO of a company and turned around and left as a CEO to go to Bible school. And I got to know him. And, his gift was really dealing in the areas of management and doing that kind of stuff. He was gifted by God and that stuff. This guy, I mean, you could give him a problem or something that was going on in a place, say, how will you fix this to handle this kind of thing with people and doing this? He just, here's what you do. Now, he'd take time out and pray and seek God. He would do that. He would take time, pray, and seek God. I ended up working in my second year for him. He was working. He was over. In my second year, he was graduated, and he was working for a company called Eagle Material Handling. And Eagle Material Handling, they had two offices, one in Tulsa, and there was another one, I think it might have been down in Dallas or someplace. But anyhow, they wanted to expand. And they were a privately owned company. They had three owners. They had one guy was a major holder of the business. But he came to this guy that I worked with and said to him, we want to expand. He said, could you give us some ideas of what to do? And he said, I remember him saying this. He said, give me 3 days. He said, I'm going to fast and pray for 3 days and I'll come back and tell you what God told me. This is the kind of guy he was. How many people you run in and run out of that? See, he was more interested in what God said. So he come back and God gave him some things. 3 days, God gave him some things. He walked into the guy at the company and he said to him, here's what the Lord gave me and put down the list of things. And the head guy read them off, jumped up out of his seat and said, that's exactly what we need to do. And hired him to do it. Paid him a big salary. You do that for us. And he did. He expanded the company. I think in 3 years, he expanded the company like 200 or 300%. God heard something from God. What a novel thing. Took the time, 3 days of fasting and praying. Blessed a sinner's company. People don't do those kind of things. See, God got me in to hook up with this guy. So see, God had a plan for Ed. And he got Ed around this guy. So anyhow, which became a real blessing. There's things that I learned concerning things spiritually. And there's things that he had that I didn't have. And there's things I helped him with. So, but God, it blessed us. But anyhow, I went and started to do that. Within a month's time, I got off on Sunday, which I wanted to have. And I got my Sundays off. But you know what? If I wouldn't have done what the Lord told me to do, that would have never happened. God wasn't trying to cramp my style. God was trying to get me to obey Him in an area. And so what happened, what God set up, was the following year, I turned around. In fact, that summer, I started working for this guy. Let me just say, between my first and second year, this is obeying God, just following God and listening to God. I never had this ever happen in my life. I got a 3 months vacation between my first and second year of school. It's never happened in my life. Money started coming into us just from obeying God. As the Lord told me, if I would obey Him and do what He told me to do, He'd bless us. I started listening. One of the things He had me do was leave a job that I was on. The guy wasn't treating me right. And I told the Lord, okay, He told me to start working for Him. And I started doing that. I was working at the same place, but I considered Him my boss. My boss wasn't doing right. And you know what? I went to work and I just started, okay, Jesus is my boss. He'll always treat me right and do right. And the Lord said this to me. He said, I pay good. And He's exactly right. Within a month's time, I had more money coming then than was in my paychecks. Never sat down to ask to believe God for a certain money. Never did it. Just did obey what God told me to do. I started working for Him. I quit complaining about my employer. That's a novelty, isn't it? You need to know it's hurting you. It's hurting you. See, I started working. The Bible says this, do whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Understand this. Nobody's going to do everything right. And they're not going to do everything you think is right because they don't work for you. They don't have to. Get over it. They don't answer to you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh my. Isn't this fun stuff to hear? But I'm teaching the things that taught me about spirituality and learning to work. Because what you had, I had to change. I was mad at this employer. I was mad at him. I was upset. I was the best worker he had. And I was making the less money. And all his friends and all his buddies that did everything that he wanted played his game. Even some of them were Christians. Played along. Played along with him. And the Lord said, go ahead and work for me. And I started working him. And money just started coming into me. Money started coming. The Lord said one day, go give him a 2-week notice, and no matter what he says to you or no matter what he offers you in money, you turn it down, you don't take it, you leave. He set this thing in motion. He said it's going to cost him, and it did. After I left, he ended up about a few months later getting fired. Because something happened. Now, number one, I was a good worker. Because he didn't do right, I didn't do less work. I did all the work that I was supposed to do. And more. So one thing is I've learned. I thank God this for my daddy and my mama. You do what's right. If you go to work and you only ever do what you're just told to do, you don't step beyond that. Do you know you can't get into ministry? You shouldn't be in the ministry if you don't do that. You know what Paul wrote and said about getting into the ministry? Totally different than what we do today, and because we follow mostly the world's principle. He said in the ministry, the person's supposed to already be doing it before you place them into it. He said, if a guy wants to be a deacon, he should already be doing that. In other words, he should be seeing things that need to be done. He should be taking care of it without anybody telling him. That's exactly how I got into the ministry. I was in a church and I took care of stuff. The pastor didn't have to come and ask me things. I'd see things. I would go into the church in the morning. I'd clean the bathrooms and stuff. Nobody told me to do it. I'd go shovel snow and stuff. Nobody ever told me to do it. It's things that need to be done to make that church work. And I went and did it. I did all kinds of things. And God's always promoted me. I have never in my life ever asked anybody to give me a place to preach. There's always a place for me to preach. I've earned it. We don't like to hear that stuff in Christianity, but there's things you're going to have to earn. You're going to have to earn. Well, I always just did that at work. They didn't have to tell me to do certain things. Certain things need to be done. You did them. And anybody else didn't do it? Well, the Janines didn't. And I just go ahead and do it. Don't do it and then complain about it. Do it as doing it unto the Lord. God's paying Ed. God has always been faithful. I have never had to look at people as my money. I've never had to do that. And I thank God because I don't want to ever look at you folks. That you're just a dollar sign to me. You're something that I give. So I have to please you, do whatever it is, or you won't give. You can't obey God and live like that. See, you can't obey God. This is all that I'm just doing. God has me pouring my heart out about this life you live. And anyhow, we'll get back over to this thing. This guy gave me a job working for him on the inside of this place. And this is what, for 3 months, money started coming to us, and the Lord said this to me. Never had it happen. Just obeying God. Here you are in school. I'm doing this whole time period while school's going on for those months. And I mean, I'm sleeping a few hours. You're going to school studying. My studying was I'd get home at night for the place. I was working in the meat department, a grocery store. And I mean, it was enormous grocery stores. We, you know, it would be like, at that time, it would be like a Wegmans type meat place, you know, with some meat counters and stuff. It was enormous. You know, these places at that time, back in 1987, they were doing $150,000 worth of meat a week out of this store that I was in. And I was the only guy in the evening when the majority of the people were coming in at that time. And I was the only guy stocking stuff and keeping things running. They had three guys behind a special meat counter who hardly did a thing. And I was out there working, doing, and they all got paid more and didn't hardly do a thing. But I had a choice. God taught me. You shut up, keep your blab mouth shut, follow me, walk with me, I'll take care of you. And I had to learn. I had to learn to bite my tongue. I got to the point where, and this literally happened, they would have to call me to get my paycheck. I'd forget about it. Wow, we weren't looking for money. We had money. Money was coming in all the time. And they'd call and say, you didn't pick your check up. And I'd say, oh, I got my check. I got to go get my check. Isn't that a wonderful thing to do? Most people wouldn't, man, I'm going to tell you, they're trying to get their check 2 weeks early. Hallelujah. This is all about obeying God. I'm a Bible school student, you know. But you know, I watched all these, we had loads of Bible students that suffered the whole time through, but they never learned. They never learned. They didn't learn obedience before they got there. I learned a lot of things about obedience before I got there. They didn't. They came to Bible school after leaving mommy and daddy who took care of them, petted them all the time, and they had to get out there and do something on their own. They was as dumb as a stick. They were used to everybody taking care of everything for them. They had the socialist Christian parents. Took care of it all. And they didn't know what to do when they got there. And mom and dad had to constantly send checks. Keep them afloat. I can truthfully say, my wife and I never ask one person for a penny, ever. We never ask anybody for a penny. In Bible school, we never ask, when we went to leave, never ask anybody for a penny. Never ask for nothing. We just told people we're going to Bible school. I've always just figured, if I have to run around and do the raising of money, I ain't got time to serve God. We ain't got time for this nonsense. If God don't provide for me, I ain't got time chasing around for it. I get a job. I know how to work. I just get a paycheck. And so I decided I ain't going to do that. I didn't. We never ask. We never ask for any money. God ended up getting people without us asking. Paid for our entire school the whole time, Bible school. Got people started sending us money and doing things without ever asking. Doing stuff. We had time and time along. I ended up taking 3 months off. The Lord said, take these 3 months off. And he said, now you spend this time with your family. He said, spend the summer with your family and have a good time with them. Well, see, I hadn't been the year before. I ain't been spending hardly any time. Hasn't been there. And we just had a great summer with the kids going around doing stuff, and I didn't have to go to work. I know how to act. I'd never had this happen in my life. I'd never had a summer off. When I was a kid in the summers, that's when you worked on the farms and made a few bucks baling hay and doing stuff. That's the things you did. You worked. You didn't. And I got a summer off. Man, I thought I died and we went to heaven. I didn't know any different, man. To me, that was the greatest thing that ever happened. That was the most marvelous thing. And that took place. But all these things are... is learning to listen to the Holy Ghost inside of you. Learning to listen. God is going to do things that put pressure on you to find out what you, so you know, not he knows what you're made of, but you need to know what you're made of. You need to know. See, when pressure came, I found out what Ed was like. When God said, you know, You need to do something. You know, go volunteer for the parking lot. I found out what Ed was like. He thought God was giving him a bad deal. You need to find out. See, many people say, I want to hear from the Holy Ghost. Do you? You might not like what you hear. He might put pressure on you. We don't like to think. We're talking about everybody's trying to get out from under pressure. Yeah, the pressure people are trying to get out from under is all the pressure they made in their own life doing their own thing. All of the stuff that they set in motion that caused them all their problems. And what do I do about this? Folks, this is just good stuff. Good things. This is all about being spiritual. It's about being over into this life. See, learn. I'm thank God I learned all this stuff young. I learned it young. You need to listen to the Spirit because there's always going to be people of religion. I have been told constantly by people who had been Christians longer than I am. Well, you just need to learn to use wisdom. See, when you step out in faith, they don't like that. You need wisdom, you know, because you're doing things that scare us. Because we walk by sight. We walk by what we feel and what we think. And that scares us when you do that. You need to use wisdom. So I had a minister tell me one time of doing a thing, and I gave, you know, was giving testimony about how God used it. He said, you need to learn to use wisdom. And I said, yeah, and not get healed like you. See, that's what his wisdom did. He never got healed. He wanted me to be in his camp because I made him look bad. He didn't realize God sent me there to help the ignoramus out of the spot he was in. Instead, his religious stupidness said, no, I want to stay where I'm at. I'll get offended in what he says. Religion will make you dumb as a stick. It'll make you just dumb as a stick. I know. There ain't one of us here don't have some kind of religiousness in us. There ain't one here. You've been taught things you were said over the years. From the time you were a child, things were certain ways. That was one of the great battles that I fought. Even though I rejected, when I was about 10 years old, I rejected the religion my parents were in. I said, I don't have nothing to do with this thing. But I was 12 years old, I was away from it. When I was at high school, I didn't even live at home. I left. Finished high school. Because why? The religiousness was crazy. It didn't work in their life. God wasn't a helper. He was the major problem. Every bad thing that happened, God did it. Every ugly thing that come along, God had a purpose. You know, they said the devil was bad, but God was always doing all the evil. Did you ever think about that? Everything that happened, the storm came along, tore everything up. God did it. What did the devil do? Oh, he's over here helping people. You know, the devil heals sometimes. How many knuckleheads you hear saying, how many healing services have you ever been in where the devil was healing? How many do you ever go to? I always love these Christians that say this stupid nonsense. Well, you know, the Bible talks about the Antichrist getting healed. One place says about it, they built a whole doctrine and now here they're healing. There's this devil down here. It's Christians just as dumb as a stick. Stupid as a day is long. I built this huge doctrine about the devil. If healing's from the devil, then Jesus Christ was the devil incarnate, for sure. And Jesus said this, the works that I do, you'll do also. Gee, I wonder if he lied. Majority of the church, he's a liar. The devil heals, God don't. Oh, today it's changed. He's not the same yesterday and today and forever. My God, we found, isn't that wonderful to know? Glad we found that one out. But see, you have to battle these. You got to battle things. Things get implanted into you. And if you don't remove them, they contaminate what's in your spirit. And whatever's contaminated will not produce what you want. God's word alone is the incorruptible seed. You can't mix something else with it. You can't have God's word and. It will not produce. It's not going to produce what you want. See, some people need to understand this. I've learned this long. There were certain things that I could bring to pass to a certain point. I couldn't get past certain things. I didn't. I couldn't get past them. There's a certain point that I could believe to and take a hold of, but there's other things I believed were wrong, and so I could never really, there's certain things I couldn't push past certain points. I had to turn around and change my believing. I found out there was things in me that were wrong, how I believed, and I had to change that so I could go past that point. You have to learn that. This is why praying in the Spirit, it'll start bringing things up. You know, and let me just say this in closing. Concerning the Spirit, many people say these kinds of things, and we need to be careful and understand. There's a God side to everything, and there's a man side. There's a two sides, the God side and the man side. There's a side of it that God does and side that man does that we're hooked up in. People will get over sometimes, and I hear people all the time say, well, God showed me this or showed me that. I've learned this over the years from practice. There's many times that things that God doesn't show me that I know. Because if I hook over into the spirit realm, you need to understand this. In the spirit realm, you're a human spirit. Your spirit in your inner man is into the spirit realm. It can see things and knows things because it's in the spirit realm. Should I tell you where I learned this at? When I was a sinner, a sinner involved in sorcery. You can touch over into the things of the spirit realm. It ain't God or anybody showing you, but if you hook over into the spirit realm, you can come in contact with things in the spirit. Your human spirit is in the spirit realm. And I learned this. You get over in the spirit. I get praying sometimes, and it isn't God showing me something. I see it because I am more aware of the spirit realm, and I can see things going on. There's things that I just pick up in my spirit because there are things that are happening. In the realm of the spirit, there is no distance nor time. Into the spirit realm, I could see 1,000 years into the future. This is where people mess up. They get over in the spirit realm and they see something way out there and they think it's supposed to be today and they try to bring it to pass today. And they wonder, things get all messed up. This is where you got to learn in these areas. There's no time, there's no distance in the realm. You can see things way out to the future and they seem like they're right on. This is where it is and it isn't where it's at. It's not where it's at. And see, this is why you need to develop spiritually to know the things that you see, because you'll pick up things in the realm of the spirit. You get over there, you'll start to see things. There's things that I know off in the distance. There's things that I know of certain people that I know that what they're going to die. I know what they're going to die of. I know what's going to happen. Because it's over in the spirit realm. You go out and see things, you can see things out ahead. You can see things going on. Over the years, I've watched this thing. I've watched people leave the earth. No one ever going to leave the earth. I knew it. So you touch over into that area. See, the Holy Spirit, what does He do? Show you things to come. See, He'll take you to the place where your spirit can go out there and see things. You get over in the spirit, He'll help to take you to the place where you can look beyond. This is why sometimes you can change things, sometimes you can't. But if you can't see nothing, you can't do nothing about it either way. This is why people get surprised. I was surprised this happened. So many times I'm not surprised. I'm surprised sometimes it took as long as it did for some things that happened. I'm surprised. For some people it didn't come sooner. I think God's mercy held things off. We need to come to that and understand these things. There's things that we need to know about getting over in the spirit realm. Folks, I had these experiences before I was ever in the ministry. I'm just a Christian. I could sit and tell you experience after experience. I had things in the spirit, things that I saw, things that come to pass, things that happened. And I was just a young Christian. And my bedroom, my God, that was the place. I thought God lived in our bedroom. I didn't know. I thought He just waited for me to go there. What was happening was is that I would go to that place and I'd be spiritual. But I learned how to get that spirituality there. And I learned how to make it work at work. I learned how it worked. I learned how to operate it. I learned the spirit of seeing and knowing. I learned how to operate where the gift of word of wisdom and word of knowledge would operate at me at work, helping me in the job that I was on. Learn how to yield to it. Fix problems that I knew nothing about or didn't have a clue about it. But learning to listen over into the spirit and the Lord show you things to correct things. Learning to do that. Learning to listen on the inside. There's a thing that I've always learned to. I've learned when you got a problem, quit just running your mouth trying to fix it. Stop and listen. We don't do that. We don't have that today. Everybody's got to, you know, we got to get everybody together and have a discussion. And the Holy Ghost just flies away like a bird. He ain't got time for this nonsense. He's not interested in your opinion unless your opinion has something to do to help in the area of the Spirit. Learning to do those things. Hallelujah. Well, we went long in that. I don't know how long we went, for a day or two. Glory to God. But the Holy Ghost is saying things. The Holy Ghost is speaking. I want to do something here today, and the Spirit told me to do it. I want to stand to our feet. There's a song that is really, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. There's a song that we sing. We have it on our thing back here. It saturate me with your anointing. If anything, that's what we need. There's not a one of us here. None of us here have enough of the anointing of God. Now, when I use the term anointing, we need to understand the Holy Spirit is the anointing of God. He is the anointing. There is the anointing that you have within you, that you're born again, a child of God, and you have an anointing in you. And that anointing in you, Jesus talked about, He teaches you. He directs. That's what He's there for. He's a teacher. You need to learn to listen to Him. If you don't learn to listen to the teacher inside of you, you're not going to go very far as a Christian and being spiritual. You have to learn how to listen to Him. That's been my great quest. And you know what? I'm still working on it. I'm still working on this thing. I'm amazed sometimes how dumb I can be. You know, I sometimes stop and say, you know, God's been trying to show me that for the past year, and I've been walking along here and that stuff, and I've ignored it every time, and He's been trying to show me this. And here it is, stick it in my face. I'm over here praying about that, and He's been trying to show me this and fix the whole thing, and me, you know, I've been over here doing this. Now, I know you've been there too, or so many people, they never asked or know they were supposed to be able to be there. I really feel bad for people. They don't know. They don't know that they can hook into that place. They don't know that they can, and that's a shame. Do you realize what you people know? My God. You're rocket scientists among most of the church. I mean, most of the church world, man. There's a couple in third grade, but most of them are in first or kindergarten, and there's a lot of them are still at home in the playpen, man. Hallelujah. My Lord, if you know you're saved, you're better off than most of the churches. They're just still guessing. They think they're getting there because they belong to a certain group. You know, I'm here with this group, that, and you know that you're saved. My God. Hallelujah. That's a big ace today. And I'm not kidding about that. That's a big thing today to know you stand with God, that you're born again. You're a child of God. You know that. That's a hugey today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But this song, the anointing, the Holy Spirit's the anointing. We can have a greater anointing. There's an anointing, that anointing that works on the inside of us to teach us. We want to learn to yield to that. But also, there's an anointing upon us. The anointing upon us is the anointing for service. That's what it is. The anointing on us. The anointing in you is about you and your relationship and walk with God. That's what that's about. The anointing on you is the power to carry out the will of God. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost by the anointing upon you. One of the things that we've had these things, but there has been a diminish of power in the church. It's one thing God's had me pray. We need to, you know, the church has tried to do much under its own strength and ability because we're baptized in the Holy Ghost. But we need to understand this. We need a move of God. And this is what comes into God's sovereignty, where we need God to begin to move in power and to anoint us to do things. See, the church thinks, well, you know, today we have the confession church, and they're trying to bring everything to pass through confession. You don't. There's things you need the anointing, and until you get the anointing on you, your confession might not amount to much. It's the power to bring things to pass. There's one thing. See, I came into the church during a time of revival. There was a flow of the anointing. And what happened was this, is people got away from the foundations of those truths, and then we saw the anointing slowly go away and go away to what we got today. See, we need the anointing of God. This will come. You know, I go to God. I don't talk to God about anything I deserve or anything. I tell to God, dear Lord, forgive us for being morons and idiots. We don't deserve to have any anointing, but you said you wanted to give it to us. Lord God, there ain't no point in us here if there isn't an anointing. There's no point to this. No one comes to the Son except the Father draw them. You can go to all the classes you want about what you got to say the right thing to a person. You can go to all that stuff all you want. If the Holy Ghost ain't doing the drawing, it's just us blowing wind. And this is one thing, is spending time in prayer. One of the things that I'm spending time in prayer is for this. Is last week, and I don't like to talk about myself from the standpoint of what God said in prophecy, but the Lord said that I would have everything that I prayed. And you understand that? I didn't pray about me. I didn't pray about me. I have been praying about this anointing coming on the church, coming on the body of Christ. That's been my main focus. I've been praying about people being removed from offices, people dropping dead who have been doing things to hinder our nation and trying to stop it, trying to let the devil run rampant. I take the prophecies that were said, and I said, Lord, do you said this by your prophet? I expect these people to get removed. I expect things to be changed. These are the things that I've been praying. I've been in the face of God, Lord God. I've been taking these prophecies. I've been taking these prophecies about the pouring out of the Spirit, the demonstrations and the gifts of the Spirit in operation 100 times more. That was prophesied by Kenneth Hagin before he left this earth. He said that the gifts of the Spirit would be 100 times greater. We can go back to Azusa Street. Can you? Now, I don't know if any of you, you know, you've read or studied Azusa Street. Go back to it. The miraculous was so phenomenal, there's never been anything like it on the face of the earth. In fact, we don't even have in the book of Acts was even like it was. So phenomenal miracles and stuff took place in Azusa Street. And it was back in the beginning of the 1900s. And it was prophesied by William Seymour and also by Parham. Both men had prophesied, not knowing each had prophesied. William Seymour was the guy who God used, a black man. I love this because God took a black guy in the middle of all the racism back in those days when blacks weren't even allowed. I mean, they weren't even allowed on the streets at nighttime. And God started a revival through the black man, just blow the socks off of it. And loads of these morons in religion stayed away from it because there was a black guy in charge. Dear Lord, I don't care if he's purple, green, or what he is. There's a move of God. Get it on me. Dear Lord. Lay your hand on my empty head. Give me something. Oh, Lord. And these ignoramuses. Because God will always move in what you think he won't. You choose what you... I didn't choose me for none of this. I didn't choose me. I don't care who God chooses. Just do it. But they prophesied it in 100 years. 100 years, there would be an outbreak of the Holy Ghost in the world, and it wouldn't be like Azusa Street at one place. It would take place all over the world. Well, folks, it ended in 1910. You know why? You know why we haven't had it start yet? Nobody's been praying for it. People want it. But you got to crave it. You got to crave this thing. And I just want you to know, it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. It's already started. There's things have already started. It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. There's a move of God. But see, you got to push into it if you want it. Daniel. Israel was supposed to be heading back to build the temple in 70 years. Daniel went before God. Hey, Jeremiah prophesied and said this was supposed to happen. Why ain't it happening? If somebody don't take, prophecy don't come to pass just cause God said. God said, we know from scripture, he's not willing that any should perish but all come to repentance. Is everybody coming to repentance? If the church don't push into things, if we don't push it, don't change nothing. It change. We gotta push into it. I want to want it as much as he wants to do it. I don't know if I'd ever arrive at that point, but I'm within myself. I have to crave this thing, this move of God. It's not for Ed Gibson, it's for the world. We'll share some other things and we'll explain some things on from a scriptural basis of why we have and haven't had. Some of the things people, do you know fire must come before the rain? Do you know that? The church has been praying for rain. The church should have been praying for fire. If it got over in the spirit, they'd have found out they should have been praying for fire. The fire comes before the rain. The church, Zechariah said, praise for rain in the time of the latter rain. But there's things of fire that we need fire. There's things that, fire is an interesting thing, folks, because fire burns some things up. Fire purifies. Do you know what fire does? Fire turns the hearts of God's people back to Him. Pray for rain all you want. If you don't get God's people's hearts back to Him, the rain ain't going to produce nothing. God's got to get, God wants us back. The Lord's told me, get back to where you were after me, like you were when you started. Come back after me, like you did when you started. Come back after me, like you did when you started. I said, Lord, you're right. I've wanted you, but not like I did when I started. Not like I did when I started. I wanted you more than anything. And I said, I see over time there's a lot of good things, not bad stuff. But they got in the way. And I haven't wanted you more than anything. And there's one thing as I want. I want His anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we definitely need more of Your anointing. Hallelujah. Lord, Lord, we can't do this on our own. We can't do it by our willpower. It's not done. Lord God, we're after You because we need You again, manifesting Yourself in the church. Lord God, we need a move of the Spirit, Lord God, that it's not by the hand of man or by the will of man or the ideas of man, but it's Your glory comes, Lord God. Oh, Lord, Lord, You have always done it in the past. And Lord God, there's always those who have sought You. And Lord God, Lord, they might not have been the mainstream of whomever, but Lord God, I don't care who it is. Lord God, to anoint people. Lord God, the ones that seek You, Lord God, You said they would find You. And I want to thank You that they'll find You in this hour, that they'll find You and that You'll anoint them, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. Father, we need new leadership in the church world today in America. We need new leadership. Lord God, I thank You. There are ones who walk with You. There's ones who follow You. But many, Lord God, they're following the will and the plans of men. Lord God, they're walking in things in the past would work and bless their lives, but not the lives of the people. And Lord God, bring people forth. Raise up ministers again in the church world, Lord God, anointed by the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to help the flock of God. Lord God, for the transfer of that anointing, Lord God, to people in the congregations, Lord God. Lord, that there can be a rising up in these last days and these last hours, Lord God, a great and holy people that You've called for, the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And I thank You, Father God. That's what we're looking for. Hallelujah. That's what we desire. We're not asking You for something You don't want to do. It's something You desire greatly to do. Hallelujah. You want to bring it to pass. But Lord God, we want to crave for it. We want to have desire, Lord God. Lord, Lord, we do want to put You first. You first. Hallelujah. Lord, we've had much first. And Lord God, we've paid a dear price for having much first. We've paid a price for these things. But Lord God, don't we come back again. Hallelujah. That we want You. More than anything, more than anything. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah.